Okay, we're continuing with our explanation of the Manik Shiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami, Instructions to the Mind. How to become Krishna conscious, how to reach the perfectional stage. As we mentioned, this Manik Shiksha is the internal path of devotional services taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Swarup Damodar Goswami as taught to Raghunath Das Goswami. So we're on text 8 today. Chandra Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaru Hare. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaru Hare. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Te Ravana Chahare Te Ramana Chahare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Palaba Giribara Dhari Gopi Jana Palaba Giribara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Te Ravana Chari Yamuna Te Ravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Alstu Teda Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Chatanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindikajaya Namacharya Shruhidas Thakurikajaya Rimse Koho Shikushna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Karadha Shivasiti Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajaya Shishi Radhakrishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Maturam Kijai, Navadeep Dham Kijai, Jagannath Swami Kijai, Yamanamai Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Gop. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gaura Ranga Shilpavad Kijai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Gop. So, we're going to continue with the reading of the Manashiksha of Raghunath Das Goswami. So, Om Ganat Timiranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, this verse 8 is like the turning point. Once one has gotten rid of all the anarthas, subtle and gross, and this is what one does. Of course, it's probably more advanced than most of us. I don't think anyone here has gotten rid of all the anarthas, subtle, gross, cheating propensity, hypocrisy, all those other nice things. So I think this is what we have to look forward to in the future. Okay, so we're going to read this verse. And remember, we read this with the the Jagannath Ashtaka prayers, the melody. Who can't see my head?
Arjuna.
Arjuna can't see my head. The cable is disturbing. All right, the cable is not going to disturb now. Can you see my head now?
I think you sit down, then we can tell you.
What? Okay, thank you. You can see my head. Which is not that important as far as this whole structure. Hearing is more important. All right, so we'll read this verse. Yatadustam medayayat davayati shastayapi kripaya yatamayam premam ritam apitadat yujvalam masau Yatha Shri Gandharva Bhajana Vitaye Prerayati Maham Tata Goste Katva Giridharam Iha Tvam Bhajamana. Okay. And the word-by-word translation is Shachtashyapi. Even though I am a cheater,
yata,
so that, kripaya, by his mercy, dushtatvang, may, my inherent wickedness, davayate, is driven away, yata, so that, ujvalam, the glowing, Premamritam, nectar of prema. Api is also. The dhati, bestowed completely. Mayam, on me. Yata, so that. Asau, these. Shri Gandharva Bhajana Vidhahi. Injunctions regarding worship of Sri Gandharvika. Aprayurayati are inspired. Mam, in my heart. Tata, for that purpose. Manaha, O mind. Kokva, with pleading words. Tvam bhaja, you should worship. Giridharam, Sri Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Iha, here. Goste, in the land of cows, Vrindavana. Even though I am a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature. Give me the glowing nectar of divine love and inspire my heart with the process to worship Sri Gandharvika. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words, you should worship Sri Giridhari here in Vrindavana. So just one thing before you go on to the explanation of this verse, that he says, even though I'm a cheater, so even though he has actually conquered all the subtle and gross anarthas, there's still that great humility. And of course, this is one of the qualities of a Uttama Adhikari, that he sees or thinks everyone else is serving Krishna and everyone else is doing nicely but himself. So this is humility. It's called Dainyu. And in the literature of the Goswamis, it's mentioned that this is the price, one of the prices, of course, in other places, mentioned that intense hankering or loyam is the price of pure devotional service, but Dainyu also is the price. So you have many things you have to pay. Intense humility, intense desire, hankering. This loyam, actually, in fact, is the cause of our entanglement in the material world, is also the cause of our getting out of the material world when properly focused. So now we'll go on to the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of this particular, as I mentioned before, this is the turning point whereby one has conquered all the lower urges and now you're just like going full steam ahead to get Radha and Krishna's mercy. So here it's the exhibition of great humility. Although I'm a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my wicked nature. So one has to do supplication like that. And of course, when we see that when the Goswamis, the two Goswamis, Rupa and Goswami, met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they put a straw between their teeth. That's actually one of the methods of showing your humility in the Vedic culture. And they bowed down. They said, people say that we're very intelligent, educated, and everything like that, but we don't know what the purpose of life is. So with that mood, of course, that means being devoid of pride in one's Janmaishwarya Shutasya Shivir, as Queen Kunti says, pride in one's learning, pride in one's birth, pride in one's bodily beauty. Of course, that is all very transitory. One has to just be completely atvama kinchana gochara, completely devoid of any sort of attachment or pride in any of these things, to supplicate oneself in the proper mood to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his consort, Srimati Radharani. So the mercy of the Lord actually is an unlimited ocean. Here's the ocean again. And it takes our, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it takes all of our wickedness and turns it... the Lord's mercy, takes all our wickedness and turns it into a puddle instead of an ocean. And that, of course, the example is that the whole material ocean of existence becomes like a water in a calf's hoofprint that you can easily step over. That's another example used by the Acharyas. And it gives us this nectar. Of course, this is honey, but but this is an exhibition of the glowing nectar that is available or in store for us when we become Krishna conscious. Of course, the devotees always use this expression, that's nectar, Prabhu, that's really nectar. It's actually a misused expression in the devotees' nomenclature. They say, that was a nectar class. That was nectar prasadam. It's like certain words we just use too much, like, oh, that was purifying, that was nectar, that was bliss, you know. These are misused words in the devotee's vocabulary. Because when you use a word a lot, it loses its meaning. Nectar. Well, that was nectar. Anyway, so actually this glowing nectar is being poured into the hearts and the minds of the devotees by Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. By the mercy of our spiritual masters, and especially by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and the Acharyas, in our disciplic succession. So right now, Of course, we hear in the Guru Vashtika prayers that the material world is like on blazing fire, and the spiritual master is raining down the mercy. But right now, we're actually using an umbrella of our false ego. Interesting example. So we don't get wet with the mercy. Instead, we're just going into the puddles. We're kind of stupid because we're going into the puddles, the mud down there, and we're not getting wet by the mercy. Anyway, we're not taking the snan that we should be taking. So, you know, what is this glowing nectar? It is the rays of what we call the Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality. God, of course, the Ladini Shakti, the Adi Shakti, that's Srimati Radharani. And there's three aspects of the Lord's Shaktis, the Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. So that means the cognitive, existential, and the pleasure potency of the Lord, or sometimes called Satchitananda. That's the way you commonly understand it. So this Ladini Shakti, which is actually personified Srimati Radharani, or comes from Srimati Radharani, enters into the hearts of the devotees and makes, interesting, it makes their relationship with Krishna, we're talking about their eternal relationship, visible to them. Oh my God. So it makes their eternal relationship either someone has a cold or... No, don't have a look. It's just Maya. Better we have a look on this. So anyway, that's what it said. Krishna Bahir Mukha. We want to turn our face away from Krishna and look at Maya. Unless someone's dying. Of course, if they're dying, you could just go out and chant Hare Krishna to them so they go back to Godhead. So this is actually in contrast to what the Babaji's teach. You know, what the Babaji's teach is that you approach one of them and they will actually tell you who you are in the spiritual world. That would be interesting, a very easy, quick and easy way to become Krishna conscious. You just go, and I'm sure I can make a lot of followers in that way. You know, because people are interested in themselves. I remember years ago I was doing for preaching purposes, I was doing, you know, past life regressions, and everybody was coming up to me. It was just like, I was the most popular sannyasi in the Hare Krishna movement. So if you offer things cheaply like that, who you were in your past life, or who you are in the spiritual world, you'll get so many takers. You know, because it's very easy. You know, people want a very, very easy path without Sharanagati, without surrender. Yesterday we were talking about Sharanagati, and that's the final one of the Navabhakti processes. But first you have to do hearing, chanting, remembering, all those other things. And then finally you can get to absolute surrender. So, instead of getting our siddhadeha, or understanding our siddhadeha, and understanding what's called the kadasa bhava, that means the 11 aspects of your transcendental personality, how you dress, you know, what your associates are, you know, what your service is in the spiritual world, in an artificial way, you get it when you get rid of all these anarthas. See, in the Babaji's generally teach that you don't have to wait till you get rid of all the anarthas. That it's the method for getting rid of all the anarthas is to understand who you are in the spiritual world. However, if we tell you or someone tells you who you are in the spiritual world, even if they have the right information, it's not going to help you get rid of the anarthas. It may increase the anarthas. Like Prabhupada said about the devotees who are concentrating, even reading his books on the intimate aspects of Radha Krishna's pastimes. He was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They have this Gopi Baba Club. Prabhupada said they're not getting purified, they're getting putrefied. You know, putrefied means like to rot. You know, something that's really disgusting. You know, it's a very illustrative word that, you know, just like if you leave some, even vegetables out, you know, the mold grows on and it gets putrefied. But to speak of meat, meat usually is utilized in that context. So, that's what happens if one prematurely even understands who they are in the spiritual world. Because if I was to tell you you're a cow, for example, you would just like start mooing all the time. before. If I tell you were gopi, you would buy a whole bunch of saris from the ladies and put them on, you know, or put lipstick on. Just like someone was describing yesterday how there's one man who sits in front of our Krishna Balaram temple, quite a heavy man, and he dresses up as a woman, and he's in front of the temple asking donations, you know. You know, I guess one of the gopis. It's not mentioned that gopis are heavy. I mean, maybe Kutil or Jatil or something like that. They may be like that, but not the general gopis who associate with Krishna. Hari Bol, welcome to Jalikas. So we don't get our understanding of our siddha deha in that way. You know, someone tells us it's revealed as you go through the process of purification. Particularly, you have to rise above or at the platform at least of nishta, and then ruchi, like that. You have to come to these higher platforms above anartha nivritti, and anartha nivritti subtle and gross. Then you can begin to understand, and then you execute what's called Raga Nuga Bhakti. Raga Nuga Bhakti means basically spontaneous devotional service, but technically it means you pick or you understand like who you are in the spiritual world, and you pick a particular eternal resident, a Ragatmaka devotee, like Lalita Vishaka, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, someone like that, or one of the coward boys. And then you assist them in their service, you follow in their footsteps. And that's all done internally. I mean, there's no change in your external behavior at all. You couldn't even tell that a devotee is doing Raga Nuga Sadhana. In fact, you would think, why, he's really strict. You'd think he's on the platform of Vaidhi from the external viewpoint. So anyway, so the knowledge of who you are in the spiritual world becomes manifest in your heart by the mercy of the Ladini Shakti. As I said, this is all coming attraction. So, not right now. So we pray to inspire my heart with the process to worship Srimati Radharani and take full shelter of Krishna's internal energy. And Krishna also, in the Gita we also have, you know, one who surrenders to Krishna is under the protection of Krishna's internal potency. So that's Radharani. The Gita also mentions this sort of indirectly, Radharani indirectly. Full shelter of the internal energy. And here's a close-up of those pictures. There's Radha and Krishna and Srimati Radharani with one of her pets. In many of the Vaishnava literatures, there's a mention of the different pets of Krishna and the different pets, the usual in Nilamani mentions that, of Srimati Radharani. Radharani even has a pet elephant. It's interesting. I don't know where she keeps it, but she's a pet elephant. Krishna has a pet peacock. And it's interesting, Jatila and Kutila and Abhimanyu, Radharani's so-called husband, they can usually figure out when Radha and Krishna are together by seeing the pets hanging around in a particular location. Like that whole Gaurikund story, that, you know, they saw the pets of Radha and Krishna together at Gaurikund, and they thought they were going to discover Radha and Krishna together. And actually they did, but they didn't know it was Radha and Krishna. They thought it was Radharani worshipping the deity of Gauri, but it was actually Krishna dressed up as the deity. But that, you know, that's how they discover, because the pets are hanging around. So it's bona fide in the spiritual world to have pets, not in the material world. Because in the material world, if you have a pet, then guess what happens? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan, jajate yanti kalevaram. That you will become a dog in your next life, or a cat, or tarantula, whatever type of pet you have. And sometimes we even see in this lifetime that the master starts to look like the dog. You know, you see people who have a pet after so many years, they're walking around with this pug-faced dog. You know, pug? The dog looks like he has his face smashed in or something like that. And that the master looks exactly the same way. Look like, is he your son? You know, that's... So, but in the spiritual world, there's pets, and actually all the pets are pure devotees. And you can talk to your pets because they're fully conscious, full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And some devotees actually desire to become pets of Radharani. That would be nice. I mean, actually, the pure devotees, many pure devotees just desire somehow or other to get the mercy of the gopis, like Uddhava prays, just to become like dust or creepers. And if you go to this place around Govardhan, it's called Uddhava Kund, and the whole area of Kushma Sarobara, Uddhava lives in that area as the creepers. And it's described that when Krishna's great son, great grandson of Rajanava went there and had a kirtan, that Uddhava came out of the ground and danced with them. Uddhava and many of the other associates of Krishna, as well as Radha and Krishna, came out of the ground. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, O Devi Gandharvika, falling on the ground like a rod, I am eternally distressed, extremely distressed, sorry, and beg you to please count me as one of your near and dear ones. So the devotees pray at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada said that Radharani is the compassionate nature of the Absolute. That's why when Krishna takes the mood of Radharani, he becomes compassionate, more compassionate than he normally is. Normally he's pretty heavy. You know, sarvadharma prichaja, mamekam sharanam braja. But when he becomes, takes the mood of Radharani, then he becomes like, tapta kanchana gaurangi, you know, gauranga. And then he just, so lenient, it's incredible. So Radharani is very, very lenient, so we should approach her. And by approaching her, we can approach Krishna. And of course, these are some of the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Devi Gandharvika, when will I dress you in a cloud-colored sari? So, Raghunath Das Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur are on the platform of Manjari Gopis, so they are approaching in that standpoint. But it's not that all of us will be Manjari Gopis. I mean, some of us may be coward boys or Radharani's pets or blades of grass. It's all fully conscious, or servants of Krishna in the spiritual world. So we pray like that. When will I get a chance? When someone's on the platform, Raghunuga Bhakti, they're praying, when will I be able to do this? And that's called the hankering for pure devotional service. When will I be able to massage, of course this is Raghunath Das Goswami again, when will I be able to massage the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna? So of course these are the Manjari gopis. Manjari means prepubescent girls, who are serving in a very intimate way Radha and Krishna. And actually they serve a more intimate way in many cases than the Sakis, because they're before puberty, they get a chance to be right there when Radha and Krishna are having their intimate pastimes. So, as I mentioned before, if one is on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, one takes shelter of one of the associates, like the associate gopis or sakis or assistants of Srimati Radharani, and serves her, and from there one gets the eligibility to serve the divine couple Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. These are very elevated subject matters. So that's the eighth verse. Anybody have any questions about these elevated subject matters before we go into the ninth verse? Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Yes.
In terms of attachment, you were saying that you have to give up all attachment, and I always wondered in terms of devotional service, when one has a particular service and has been doing it for years, for example, should we be attached to that service if some circumstances occur that, you know, we have to change our service?
In the beginning, that is answered in the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Prabhupada said one's attachment should be to the service, and then and then after some time, when you get very advanced in devotional service, you're attached to the bhakti ras. But so to answer your question, yes and no. It depends on your platform and devotional service. In the beginning, yes, we must be extremely attached. But after that, we become ready to do whatever Krishna wants us to do. It just depends on our stage of devotional service. You know, Krishna wants me to wash the pots or give class, or to go on Sankirtan, it's all the same, because it's what Krishna wants. But in the beginning, yes, there's attachment, because you need that, just to keep you going. You know, if they keep changing your service every day, it gets extremely confusing to the mind, the conditioned mind. Does that make sense? So therefore, we develop that attachment. But later on, you don't have a conditioned mind, so you're just thinking of pleasing them. So whatever Radha and Krishna or the coward boys or whoever ask you to do, or your spiritual master. Don't wait for the coward boys. You have a spiritual master, so. And so whatever he asks you to do, you know, yes, sir, jump how high, not why. Ours is not to question why, ours is but to do and die, do or die. You ever heard that? No. Anyway. Like Prabhupada did with his spiritual master said, you know, go preach in the West. And so many others were thinking, well, I'm too shy, that's not really my nature, like that. And Prabhupada just said, no, that's my mission. And he did it. He wasn't thinking, oh, I'm a businessman, I'm a pharmacist, you know, I have so many responsibilities. Prabhupada just said, no, I have to do it. He was always focused on that. So, anyway, so that may be a more advanced platform, but in the beginning, there should be some attachment to one service, and then it's transferred. So, any other questions about that? Yeah.
Speaking about Sharanagati and Nikadash Bhavs, one of the six processes of Sharanagati is to consider Krishna's, like our soul protector.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the qualities or the Ekadash Bhavs is that we feel like we belong to Radharani and that she's our protector. So should we just take self-shelter of Gauranga?
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. Krishna and Radharani have appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we talk about Krishna, in a larger sense, for those of us, you know, all of us who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that means Radha and Krishna. You understand? It's just like obvious. It's obvious, you know, to have no separate interests other than the interests of the Supreme Lord, to be always meek and humble. You know, you go through all these six processes of Sharanagati according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To accept everything favorable for serving Radha and Krishna. And in the beginning, and when we talk about Radha and Krishna and service to Radha and Krishna, it also includes the service of the spiritual master and the Vaishnava. So, you know, you really have to have a broad understanding, you know, to understand that Krishna is always protecting one. Well, that also refers to the spiritual master and Radharani and the associates of Krishna, because Krishna is never alone. Like Prabhupada, he would object to pictures of Krishna that showed Krishna, let's say, in outer space playing his flute. Some of you have seen it with a big om around him. Some of you have seen that picture. But I said, this is not the way it is. Because Krishna is always there with his associates. So when we say Krishna, that's, you know, the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna, the spiritual master, all those things like that. So, you know, the spiritual master also protects. You know, we read or heard in the previous verse that the protectors, like the great devotees, remember that? We saw Grandfather Bhishma, the Mahajans, you know, Arjuna, Narada Muni, as the protectors. So this is the point. Krishna means all these things. But not your material body, not your mommy and daddy, not your doctor, what else? Not your car, not your money. We have all these, what's called fallible soldiers in this material world. Bhagavatam talks about that. The Bhagavatam says that we've taken shelter of fallible soldiers. You know, beginning with the body, beginning with our community, beginning with our money, beginning with our family. All these things are just fallible soldiers. And fallible soldiers mean, like the soldiers when we used to play with little soldiers as kids, you know, or like a toy gun. Doesn't do you any good, you know, it's just an illusion. So, anyway, so we take shelter ultimately of this whole entourage of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Does that answer your question? And so all the six surrendering principles are taken in that particular context. Like if we need some protection from Maya, just like yesterday, one disciple contacted me that they prayed to me, you know, for some protection from Maya. And Krishna revealed something to them immediately after the prayer. So, know, I may or may not be aware of it, but Krishna does it. You understand? Because the spiritual master has to be transparent. Mm-hmm. And when you pray to him, it goes to Krishna. So, do we take shelter of the spiritual master? You know, I pray to Prabhupada all the time. That reminds me, I want to ask you all to pray for one of my godbrothers, Jagajivan, who I mentioned before, who's in the hospital. His heart is failing, and they don't know what to do, and they're going to try to jumpstart it, you know, or jumpstart the rhythm. And I was just contacting him this morning, and I told him I'd ask all the devotees just to very kindly pray for his recovery. He's a great, an old friend, you know, I worked with him in South America for many, many years. So, any other questions before we go on to the next verse and learn more about our spiritual identities? Everything you always wanted to know but were afraid to ask. So, any other questions? Comments, arguments, problems? No? Okay, let's go on to the next text. This next text is 9. All right, let's go there. Whoops. Oh, there we go. Okay, let me get it on this one. It's easier for me to read. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as I mentioned before, writes very nice poems based on each one of these verses. Maybe if we have time at the end of this whole course, we can read some of those poems. Each and every verse, he writes several shlokas. All right, so let's recite this one. Marisha natatve braja vipina chandram braja bane swarim tan natatve tad atula sakitve tuladitam vishakam shikshali vitarana gurutve priyasara Garindra tat prekshala lita rati datwe smaramana. Okay. Again, we're praying to the mind. Smaramanaha. O mind. Meditate on. Braja vipina tyandram. Krishna, the moon of the Vrindavan forest. Marisha natatve, as the Lord of my controller or leader, Shri Radhika, Braja Vaneshwarim, Shri Radha, the Queen of the Braja Forest, Atanatatve, as his dearest object of love. To Lalita and Lalita Tad Atula Sakitwe as the incomparable friend Vishakam Vishaka Shikshali Vitarana Guru Tve as the foremost guru. Distributing the teachings of love. Priyasaro Garindra, Radhakund and Govardhan. Tat Preksha Lalita Ratit Dhatve. As givers of the sight and love. Of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So, O mind, meditate on Krishna, the moon of the Vrindavan forest, as the Lord of my leader, Sri Radhika. Meditate on Sri Radhika as his most dear object of love. Meditate on Sri Lalita as her incomparable friend. Meditate on Sri Vishakha as the foremost guru distributing the teachings of love. And meditate on Radha Kund and Govardhan as givers of the sight and love of Sri Sri Radhakrishna. Very wonderful verse. Okay, so we'll go on to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is actually Raghunath, just one explanation, Raghunath Das's personal meditation, which, as I mentioned before, is different from the meditation of other devotees who have different rasas and different connections in the spiritual world. For the neophytes of those in Vaidhi Bhakti, it's a general prescription. Of course, we do say meditate on Krishna and meditate on Radharani, even for the neophytes. And Prabhupada even distributed Krishna book to the non-devotees. Yeah, in the beginning days of the movement, of course, that was the first book I read. And I was an absolute demon. Rakshasa, demon. Not Rakshasa, I wasn't eating meat. But anyway, wasn't eating people either. So that was the first book I got, and even though I didn't understand the philosophy, who Krishna was or Radharani was, I at least liked the monkeys. I kept meditating on this little blue boy who I didn't know who he was, that was stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. I didn't know, you know, who's this little blue boy? Should I see a psychiatrist, you know? But because Krishna consciousness is attractive, according to the fourth verse, the first canto of the first chapter of the tenth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is that? Nivrittatarsar upagimana bhavoshita shrotram and obiramat kautama shloka gunanavada Puman virajeta bina pashugnat. It's like the nutshell verse of the 10th canto. That by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, I'm paraphrasing the verse, nivritta tarshar, all the material miseries can be eradicated. And the only people who are not attracted to these material miseries are those who are killers of animals or killers of the soul. So, because I was a vegetarian at that time, I became attracted. Even though the heart became attracted, even though the mind and intelligence didn't know what was going on. So that's our method of preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, Prabhupada said we shouldn't preach about vegetarianism, because Prabhupada said the monkeys are even vegetarians. So, but we give people Krishna katha, and by their gradual reading, they'll even give up meat eating. And then once they give it up, they become so attracted, they'll be forced to become devotees by the force of attraction. The power of attraction. I know there was this mundane philosophy that was coming out about, you know, the secret, the power of attraction. You heard about this before? And they talked about the power of our attraction to mundane things. That was their philosophy. That if you're attracted enough to a mundane thing, you'll get it. Because the universe is your servant. So our philosophy is, if you're attracted enough to Krishna, you'll get him, because not because Krishna is your servant, because you're Krishna's servant. It's actually the opposite of the power of attraction. So I know many devotees get captured by these mundane philosophies, like the power of attraction, and they get into it, you know, I'm just meditating that I'll have a big house to serve Krishna. The big house is more important than service to Krishna. So anyway... So Krishna katha is meant for everybody, if presented the right way by the proper personality. Like Krishna book, generally you have to go through all the 9 previous cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the lotus feet, and then you move up the body of the Lord to the smiling face, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally that's a prescription. But by the mercy of the pure devotees, even these pastimes can be presented to, you know, rascals. And they won't have a misunderstanding. But Prabhupada said some of his books, or some parts of his books, I mean, they're all nice, but he presented them like a pharmacy. He said, they're medicine, but you have to know how to apply them. Just like if you go into the drugstore, I wouldn't say they're good medicines, but they're all medicines. But the pharmacist and the doctor are the ones who prescribe it. You don't just go and say, you know, hey, that looks really good. Give me some strychnine, you know. I won't tell you what strychnine is. Anyway, give me some morphine, you know. That sounds really good, you know. No, you have to have the prescription given by the expert devotee, pure devotee. So Krishna, of course, is the moon. There's the moon and Krishna of the Vrindavan forest. That's wonderful. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Vasana, the moon, too. And then there's more pictures of that. Beautiful pictures that were painted. These pictures were painted specifically for this book. These are original paintings. And I was allowed to use them in this PowerPoint, or given this PowerPoint, and I'm not allowed to distribute the PowerPoint because they have the original paintings. But if you want to see them, they're available in the Kindle book or in the big book. But as far as in this format, you were not allowed to distribute them. So in the forest of Vrindavan, Radharani offers flowers to Krishna, the moon of the Vrindavan forest. And, of course, Krishna is the Lord of Radharani. So you see how Raghunath Das Goswami sees Krishna. He sees Krishna as the Lord of his worshipable deity. So some people see, Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we see Radharani as the formal servant of Krishna. It depends on your rasa with Krishna. And if you're an atheist, you see Krishna as personified death. Depending on your approach, yayatamam prapajante tamsataiva bhajamiyaham. So, if you're a coward boy, you see Krishna as your buddy. And if you see, if you're in the parental mood, you see Krishna as just a lovable kid you want to pick up and kiss. So, depends on your particular mood of how you see Krishna, how you see Radharani. Or if you're Jatila and Katila, you see Krishna as the enemy. Or Chandravali, you see, Krishna's the person you want to get, and Radharani is your enemy. Of course, Chandravali really is serving Radharani. Chandravali is an expansion of Radharani, and she serves Srimati Radharani and Krishna by increasing the different rasas or indirect rasas that are manifest in the pastimes there in Vrindavan. So Krishna likes to make, like Man, to make Radharani angry. Anger is one of the indirect rasas. So if you explain this to someone who's not in Krishna consciousness, how there's anger in the spiritual world, they won't understand. How can there be anger in the spiritual world? But actually Krishna likes to make the gopis angry, likes to make Radharani angry, and he enjoys it tremendously. And then he enjoys having to sneak around to meet with her because she doesn't want to meet with him, and he has to dress himself sometimes as a lady. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, other times he has to dress himself as a snake charmer. Other times he has to dress himself as a sannyasi, like a palm reader, to be with Srimati. Other times he has to dress himself, as the story I told before, as a deity, just to be with Srimati Radharani. So he'd like this sort of like suspicion and anger and, envy and everything like that's enjoyable to Krishna. And that's, of course, where you get your Bollywood films from. A perverted reflection of all these things. I always have to mention that in every class. So there again, Krishna is the Lord of Radha. So this is Raghunath Das Goswami's perception. Krishna is the Lord of Radha. Now, of course, right now, we see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the spiritual world, under the influence of Yoga Maya, they're not thinking, hey, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're thinking, there's Krishna, the Lord of Radha, or there's Krishna, my buddy. This is something different. Right now, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for us. And Radhika is Krishna's most dear object of love. And here we see Krishna decorating the hair of Srimati Radharani. And there's a nice temple right next to Kushnima Sarovar, the Banabahari temple. Anyone's been to that temple? Where Krishna actually becomes the hairdresser of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is looking at a mirror, and she's actually looking not at herself like most ladies do, mirror on the wall, who has the most beautiful hair of them all. She's looking at Krishna behind her. I mean, how many of you ladies have been at the hairdresser and you look at the hairdresser instead of your hair? Admiring the hairdresser. I don't think that's ever happened. Any of you ladies? No, you're just looking at yourself. That's called vanity, which is the opposite of Krishna consciousness, that you know, oh, this is my nice profile, this is my bad profile. Let me dress up this material body. Anyway, so this is a wonderful pastime. And here, Radharani is depicted. These are very nice pictures. Radharani is Krishna's dearmost object of love. So we pray to Radharani because that's us. If you hadn't figured out that yet. Dear Radhika, this is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The servant of yours has fallen immensely into the ocean, of the depths of the ocean of distresses, through the amazing boat of your strong mercy. Mm. Kindly rescue this servant and make her, because remember in this particular point, Raghunath Das Goswami is in the mood of his eternal position in the spiritual world as a woman, but for us it may make him or make us attain the liberating shore of your lotus feet. So this is a devotee being picked up by the spiritual master who's giving the books. You see the books there? And so by the books of Srila Prabhupada, we're actually being rescued. This is us drowning right now in the whirlpool. See, it's a whirlpool. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a whirlpool. They suck you under. So we're being sucked under right now. And we're just praying to Radharani's servant to be saved from this particular situation. So in this verse, it's described that Vishakha is the guru of the damsels of Braj. In other words, she teaches them how to worship Radha and Krishna, how to make the flower garlands. The mood of Lalita and Vishakha is quite different. Lalita is like very hot-tempered, and Vishakha is cool-tempered. So when usually you find in these pastimes that Lalita is just getting super angry at Krishna. She sort of like reflects Radharani's mana, Radharani's anger. But she's getting super angry. She's the one who holds a stick to keep Krishna from coming to Radharani. And Vishakha is the one who does some conflict resolution. You know, the mediation. You know, she goes to Krishna and says, you know, why can't we get together and get you and Radharani together again? So they are the eternal associates, of course, of Srimati Radharani. And, of course, many of the temples, they have deities of Lita and Vishakha. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, you have Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami. Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, and Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita. So Raghunath Das Goswami got his instructions from Lalita and this whole mana shiksha. So here's Vishakha even instructing Radharani, basically telling her, give up your man towards Krishna and go back to Krishna. And she's crying. Radharani's crying that, you know, I don't want to go back to that blackish boy, you know. And actually, there's many interesting stories about the exchange between Radha and Krishna. Sometimes Radharani is crying. This could be illustrating that same story where she's thinking, I'm very unchaste because I'm in love with three different people. And three different people is like, you know, that blackish boy, the person who has the name Krishna, and the person who plays the flute. And she's thinking they're three different people. And Vishakha is telling, no, just the same person. Anyway, and Ramananda Roy, as we mentioned before, talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a wonderful book that's been, this is on the banks of the Godavari in Andhra Pradesh. We've been there. I don't think anyone here has gone on our South Indian tour with us, but we went to the Godavari River and saw this exact place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy became the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this particular encounter. There's a book published by Srila Prabhupada that's called the Ramananda Samvada. Anyone's read this book? No. It's a book that devotees discovered in Prabhupada's room after Prabhupada left this world. And it's really like a detailed purport and explanation of the pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy about the purpose of life and the method of achieving that particular purpose. And Ramananda Roy starts talking about Varnashram. He says, you know, the method is Varnashram, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that's external. He rejects it. And they go higher and higher. You know, in the beginning, Hare Krishna. No mobile phones, please. Hare Krishna. Bunkaro. Turn it off. And you know, after he talks about Varnashram, he talks about Yat Karoshi, Yadishnashi, Yajdidahoshi, Dadatiyat, offering everything to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says, this is simply external. And then he goes through, you know, Bunkaro. So he goes through Hare Krishna. So he goes through the various stages all the way up to the conjugal rasa and even higher than that, the Vipralamba Seva. And so Lord Chaitanya is the student and Ramananda Roy is the guru. And that's like in the pastimes between Radha and Krishna. It's very, very interesting. So you can all, if anyone's interested in that book, I think I have it on the computer. I think it's part of the Veda base. It's one of the books in the Veda base. And it's very nice, elaborating on the process of devotional service and the highest understandings that we can achieve. And so here's another picture of Ramananda Roy, the banks of the Godavari. And Ramananda Roy, another interesting thing is he appeared as a Shudra. He was in charge of the whole province of Madras, which you call Chennai nowadays. And he was working under the King Prataparudra. And when Lord Chaitanya first met him, they embraced each other, and the ritualistic brahmanas could not understand why this high-class sannyasi from a Brahmin family was embracing the Shudra, or why a person in such a high position as Ramananda Roy, you know, being the governor of the Madras province, would embrace a sannyasi. And so they decided to talk privately later on. But when they first met, Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna himself, recognized... Someone else's phone? Tell him later. Later, alligator. So anyway. And then also the Raghunath Das Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they offer prayers to Jamuna Devi. Jamuna Devi, of course, is the daughter of the sun god. And the sun god also has a very interesting son, whose name is Yamaraj. So we worship the Yamuna so that we won't have to go to Yamaraj. So here's Surya Dev with his two children, Yamuna Devi and Yamaraj. Doesn't look so frightening. But Yamaraj is not frightening. It's the Yamadutas that are a problem. It'd be good if we got darshan with Yamaraj. So the Yamuna River, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, has swans and lotuses on her waters, cows and kadamba trees. Kadamba trees are actually represent Srimati Radharani. The reason is they're sort of golden and they have goosebumps all over them, and that which means the ecstasy. Does anyone know the tree that represents Krishna? Tamal tree. So you have the tamal and the kadamba tree. So the kadamba trees on the Jamuna's banks and the demigods in the sky are praising Jamuna Devi. This is his original painting, too. And then you have Lalita, who is Radharani's friend and confidant. So Lalita Devi reveals her mind. Radharani reveals her mind to Lalita Devi. This is also Lalita and Radharani. And Mother Yashoda, who is lovingly gazing at Lalita and Vishakha. And Vishakha is, and Radharani are smiling to see Mother Yashoda appreciating their intimate friend. There's another picture of Lalita and Radharani. And Lalita Devi is very, very expert, and she's a great dancer. She dances for Srimati Radharani, Krishna, and their friends. And this is a description given in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Karnapur. If you're interested in hearing the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, I've done a narration on it. It's available as an Android app. And also, if you go on ISKCON Desire Tree, you can download it from there. So it's the reading, dramatic reading of the whole Ananda Vrindavan Champu with music to it. It's very nice. Very nice literature. And it's the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it gets into more details. Like it depicts the pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, and it tells exactly what was happening under Govardhan Hill for the period of time when Krishna was lifting the hill, and how there were so many mountains and valleys and streams under Govardhan Hill. Because normally you think under Govardhan Hill, everybody just had to be bored for like 7 days. But it was a whole like village under Govardhan Hill with all sorts of amazing things. And then Raghunath Das Goswami explains how Radhakund is the giver of the sight and love for Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And here's Radhakund. And of course, when I go to Radhakund, I just take some water on my head, because I respect Radhakund as Srimati Radharani has stated in the Nectar of Instruction. Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani is. So I just put water on my head. Some devotees bathe completely, but I cannot picture putting my feet into Radhakund, my material feet. And the Govardhan Hill gives us the vision of the sight of the love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, so we worship Govardhan. And as everybody knows, I have a place at Govardhan, and we circumambulate Govardhan every day. And we take the devotees around, and we tell them the different pastimes. So that's the end, verse 9. So we have 3 more verses. So any questions or comments? We're going to have to end in a minute. Any questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, discussions, atheistic viewpoints? Questions? No? Everybody understands everything? No, nothing. You don't understand nothing, anything. A little bit. Yeah, this is very high. High information. So, you know, we're presenting, it's like a coming attraction. What's in store? So you have some focus. Like if you're going somewhere, let's say if you have a GPS, then you have to know your destination. But you have many waypoints along the way. Like you may stop and get some petrol, which is a good idea. Just like I was with Pranavat the other day, and his battery ran out because it was a battery-operated car. So it was very embarrassing. He said, oh, my God, we've run out of juice. So sometimes on the way back to Godhead, we run out of juice. So we have to stop at many recharging stations. And on his mobile phone, he had a list of all the recharging stations. So in Prabhupada's books, we have a list of all the different recharging stations and going back to Godhead, you know, so we don't run out of juice, you know, just... Because if you run out of juice, you got to get towed back to the beginning. So we have to keep the juice coming by regularly chanting, regularly having sadhana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day, associating with the devotees, eating food cooked only by devotees, not by rakshasas. And in this way, we keep our battery charged so we can reach the destination, which is what's being described here. So any questions? Yeah.
I wanted to maybe a little bit more explanation about how, you know, when we're focusing only on, say, negatives, which are our anarthas,
don't focus on your anarthas. Just be aware of them and pray to Krishna. Where did Raghunath Das Goswami said, focus on your anarthas? Mm. You know, I am so... let's say, I want to satisfy my tongue. I really want to satisfy my tongue. I really want to eat pizza. Oh, my God. Pizza. No more. Anyway, then you're gonna give in to the anartha. So, therefore, you pray to Krishna, being aware of the anarthas. Just like if someone's... Hey. Chupero. for those of you who don't understand Hindi online, it means shut up. Talking to me later, you know, there's no need. So anyway, so just like if you're attacked by a gunda, you don't concentrate on the knife, you concentrate on running away from the knife. Say, oh, a knife is coming. No, you fool, run away from the knife. Call the police, you know, do something strategic, you know. So if you, so these, this is like gundas. I mean, that's what was described there, isn't it? Like dacoits or gundas. That was the whole description. So you pray for the mercy, help. That's what you do. You know, the Anarthas are only there to force us to pray for the mercy. Help, help, I'm drowning. But we like to drown. That's our problem. Give me more Anarthas. You know, people take pills to get more Anarthas nowadays. There's lust pills. They read magazines to get more Anarthas. They do all sorts of things. You know, lust, anger. They watch Fiji 7 to get more Anarthas. That's rugby, in case you didn't know. You know, anger, greed. You know, they watch the stock market. You know, we have one devotee who thought the best way to stay awake on a codicil every, you know, because you're supposed to stay awake in codicil, is to watch the stock market all night. So all night long he was awake in the codicil. You know, that's greed. So, isn't it? I mean, just like we were in a program the other day. He's probably watching. And he was talking about, we were just taking prasad, and the devotees were talking about buying and selling houses and making money. So, you know, lust, anger, greed, illusion. And then we watch a movie, increases our illusion, a Bollywood movie like that. And then we watch. Anyway. Greed, like that. So anyway, so we have to be careful about increasing these things or embracing these things. We should cry out for help. Help, Krishna. Take me out of this ocean. Radharani, save me. Your servant has come. Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual pastor, is coming to save me, to drag me out of this ocean. Okay, I think we have to end now because we have a full day of visits, right? All glory is to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And we want to welcome everybody who's joining us online. And here's all the people here. We have a big group today. Soni Ramani, Surendra, Radhasharana, Gauri, Arjuna, wherever he is. Srini Tamba, Divya Nitai Leela, Rasika, Vrindavan Bihari, Rishikesh, Rasamando. Rasamando, I hope he's coming here. Is he? He's not going to come. Anjani Singh, Sridhar Vaidya, Ardi Priya, Arjuna, Nikunja, Malini, Damodar, Ram Bahadur. All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, and big crowd.